wrote it on the only word processor I had at the time, which was an IBM 370-168 mainframe. It was a big word processor. And I wrote it in a line editor, because that was the only editor that was available. And I sat at night in my apartment working on my ADM3H remote, you know, through my 300 baud modem acoustic coupler, you know, going across campus to the computer center over there, and then one night about 2:30 in the morning, I had one of those moments where I was typing along and I pressed a key, and you know, I knew that was the wrong key to press. And you have one of these things where you think, wait a minute, I'll make a pact with the devil. Maybe as long as my finger is still on the key, it's all right. And nothing happens until I take my finger off the key. Yeah. So fingers on the key, and you're looking for the manual, and you think, well, I can call over there, but I hooked up over the acoustic coupler, and the phone is in use, and my finger is on the key, and I think I just did something really, really stupid. So I took my finger off the key, and I had done something really, really stupid. So I ran across campus, 2:30 in the morning, went to the help desk, asked the guy there for the back of tape, because I had just erased my entire book. And he was an English major. And I explained what I knew. And he explained to me that Lawrence of Arabia wrote his book, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And he wrote it longhand and pen on paper. And he lost the entire manuscript on a train platform in London and had to start over from scratch and write it all over again. And so I said, so what does this mean to me? He said, well, there's good news and there's bad news. I said, what's the bad news? And he said, it's gone. There's no backup tape. You're screwed. I said, what's the good news? He said, Lawrence of Arabia's book, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, was 230,000 words. You only lost 96,000. So there came a day, shortly thereafter, when we had to decide how to remove files in a graphical environment. And I proposed the concept of a trash can, an icon of a trash can into which you would put a file. And until you empty the trash, the file remains and is recoverable, making it a two-step process because of my finger on that key. I thought, this will never happen again to another human being. Because I did write the book. I wrote it over again from scratch, 96,000 words. And so when you design something like that, to be fair, you have to give the user some idea that there's something in the trash can. You know, so it's been done in various ways through the years. Originally, you know, if you're a Macintosh person, Macs used to make the trash can bulge when there was trash in it, which violates the laws of physics. After that, in the Mac, they have it where if something is in the trash can, the lid will be off the can, which violates the laws of my mother. In Windows, after Windows 1, there was no trash can, but there's something that looks remarkably like the trash can, a recycle bin. And it actually has carbon paper in it, which really sort of makes some sense. But my work predated all of this, so I had to think of what to do. So I animated a fly that flew around the top of the trash can. Whenever there was anything in the trash can, you could see that fly flying around. And we did focus groups, and we showed them the early releases. And you know, they were really lots of Apple IIs under the table, but it looked like a Lisa. And we would run the interface, and we would play with it, and see it. And I thought, this is pretty good. You know, they like the Lisa, but they love the fly. But if you turned off the fly, the computer was twice as fast. So then they fired me.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.